Regular listeners will know that we've been tracking the story of scientists and their Antarctic adventures since before Christmas. Led by Professor Chris Turney, a team of researchers have been retracing the steps of the intrepid Edwardian pioneer Douglas Mawson, a century after his scientific endeavours around the Southern Pole. Well, it hasn't gone entirely according to plan. As you probably heard, the research vessel Academic Schakalsky was trapped, beset in ice, in the jargon, on Christmas Eve. And on the 2nd of January, the passengers were dramatically rescued on a helicopter from the Chinese ship Zhu Long and flown to the icebreaker Aurora Australis. The Zhu Long then became frozen in creeping ice as well. One of the rescued passengers was Radio 4's Andrew Luck Baker, out on the expedition making a programme for us. I spoke to him from the deck of the Australis, but first, here he is touching down from the chopper.
We're now descending and we can see the Aurora Australis. Wow. Look at that. Oh my goodness, what a sight. Wow. Huge vessel compared to the Schakalsky. Oh, and with a very gentle bump we landed.
Andrew, that's you being winched onto the deck of the Australis. Where are you now?
At the moment, Adam, I'm on the top deck. I'm holding on for dear life this satellite transmitter, which is allowing me to do this interview. And in balance of my knees is my laptop, and then I've got my foot on my rucksack to stop it being blown over the ship in these winds that are gusting 40, 50 knots. So, yeah, it's not your regular studio interview, I can tell you that.
Well, I shall be brief. Now, of course, you're part of an expedition which is recreating Douglas Mawson's expedition in the Antarctic 100 years ago. How is the situation you're in affecting the science schedule?
Well, since we became, as they call it, beset in ice, the science more or less stopped. There was a little bit of recording temperature and salinity measurements of the water, a profile down to the bottom of the sea. That went on a little bit, but to be honest, that was about it.
Were you scared?
Well, I mean, to be frank, I never thought we were in serious danger. You know, kind of boredom was, on some occasions, became a bit of an issue. But on the whole, I would say that most people try to make the best of it.
I know the conditions are extremely hostile and unpredictable, but we've been tracking the expedition since the beginning, since before the beginning, in fact. We've had the expedition leader, Chris Turney, on the show a couple of times, including from the ice. What went wrong?
They're not altogether sure. The scientists aren't altogether sure at the moment. Speaking to Greg Mortimer, who's one of the co-leaders, he said, you know, based on the data that they had, there was absolutely no reason to think that this event should happen that day. And, I mean, he's a man who has been down here for more than 20 consecutive Antarctic summers. So he does know he's Antarctica.
It was an extraordinary event. It was unbelievable to watch. And I've spent a lot of time watching ice, and this was simply extraordinary. When we got stuck, we were within a mile or two of open water. A few days later, it was 3 or 4 miles of ice, and then within a week, there was 22 nautical miles of ice between us and open water. It's closer to 40 kilometres. Now, all of that ice set like a gummy mix of concrete and super glue and all put together, and nothing's going to move it for a long time, I don't think. There's a risk that that ice that the ship is now trapped in will become locked fast to the land and could stay there for a very long time, which could ultimately lead to the ship being squashed and sunk, or for a very, very long time being beset. So I think we've just seen a cataclysmic event.
That was Greg Mortimer, one of the co-leaders of the Mawson expedition, and before him, Andrew Luck Baker. Great thanks to him, Radio 4's wandering Iceman. We have Professor John Turner with us now. He's from the British Antarctic Survey, and he leads a project looking at climate change in the Antarctic. John, Greg just referred to this as a cataclysmic event. It sounds like it was unprecedented. Can you predict these types of things?
Well, we know the Antarctic is a very stormy place. You know, even in the middle of summer, as we are now, storms constantly go around the Antarctic, and they can cause the movement of ice. I think the problem with this expedition was there was a breakout of fast ice. Fast ice is multi-year ice that's quite thick, 2, 3, 4 metres perhaps, held fast against the edge of the Antarctic continent, and a strong storm moved that out. And so that's almost impossible to predict. We can predict the weather several days ahead with some accuracy these days in the Antarctic. But these breakouts are very difficult, and so it was quite an extreme event.
John, you're a veteran of the Antarctic. How difficult is it to monitor ice flows and ice behaviour at the poles?
Well, we now have some quite impressive satellite imagery with the resolution really of less than a kilometre. So that allows ships to navigate through the ice. But it is so dynamic. That's the big problem we have. The winds are constantly changing around the Antarctic. And so an area can open up and a ship can move into a, what we call a polynya, an area of ice-free ocean. And then the winds can change, as happened to the Shkalski, and then suddenly they can be closed in and pinned for a length of time.
This has been an exciting and a high-profile expedition, and this event, the ship being beset in ice, it has been used by climate change deniers in the press as a brickbat to beat scientists and the science. In fact, an interview that we did with Chris Turney before Christmas has been cited in the press. What is the scientific response to these attacks?
Well, you have to be very careful to split between weather and climate. What we've had here is a weather event. We've had some storms, they've moved ice around. In another year, you could have fantastic weather. There could be very few storms. You have to be careful to try and look at how the ice is changing in the longer term, over the decades. We only have really quite short records of sea ice around the Antarctic. They start in the late 70s. But they show that we have a slight overall increase in ice. Not a huge increase, less than 1%. And that really is quite in contrast to what's happening in the Arctic. The Arctic, we've had a remarkable loss of sea ice over the last 34 years or so. But in the Antarctic, this small increase, I think, is so small we can't really say it's caused by human activity. It seems to be within the bounds of natural variability of the Earth system.
A 1% increase in sea ice, you can have some sympathy or some understanding of why climate skeptics might use that to attack the whole concept of anthropogenic global warming.
Yes, 1% increase in the extent of sea ice is really a very small amount. We don't know how Antarctic sea ice would change without, say, the ozone hole, which we know has had a big impact on the Antarctic, or without increasing greenhouse gases. And that's one of the reasons we look at the Antarctic ice cores. They provide a record of temperature, to some extent of sea ice, before we had an impact on the climate system. People think that really the human impact of increasing greenhouse gases only started in the 19th century. And we can look before that to try and get an estimate of what the natural variability of the system is. And a 1% increase, I believe, is within the bounds of natural variability. So we can't really infer global change from a measurement like that.
It must be frustrating having to answer these type of criticisms when the whole point of going out on expeditions like that is to gather data about climate change.
Well, no one questions the data more than scientists. We're constantly trying to find better records. We have incomplete data. The Antarctic is a huge place, and we only have a small number of research stations in the coastal area, and we have large areas of the interior where we have no observations made by humans, and we're only too aware of the sparseness of the data that we have. But as we get longer records, as we get better methods for looking at the longer-term changes through ice cores or ocean sediment cores, we do start to get a feel for how the system will vary naturally.
John Turner from the British Antarctic Survey. And the hopeful news is that there has been some movement on the ice for the two beset ships. You can hear Andrew Luckbaker's full tale of the expedition, from the gin and tonics on deck to the science to the emergency evac, in Frozen in Mawson's Footsteps, a special documentary here on Radio 4 on the 29th of January.